are back. Welcome everybody to episode 4 of AV Magazine's newly revamped podcast, Making Waves. I'm Amit Patel, account director of AV Magazine, and today I'll be hosting alongside the two Daves, Mr. David Allen and Mr. David Berman. And also today we are joined by our special guest, known as the Danish Dynamite, Leila Herre Jensen, CEO of Zenova and also on the board of Avixus Board of Directors. So welcome, Leila.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here and be among friends.
Hey, Leila. Nice to see you.
Hi, Leila. Thank you very much for joining us first and foremost. I just wanted to kick off proceedings really by asking you, in terms of you've been in the AV industry for quite some time. You've known Amit for a number of years now, myself for a couple of years likewise, but be intrigued to know, as will our listeners, a bit of background on yourself in terms of how you first entered the pro AV world and probably a bit about what you did before that.
Yeah, gladly. I'm almost on my 20th year, but as a lady, I always start by saying 15 plus. So let's say 15 plus because a lady doesn't say anything else. I've actually grown up in the AV industry, and I'm proud to be one of the ones few that can actually say that because I got so inspired in the beginning. So I've managed companies with the US startup in the tech industry. I have worked with Europeans, Middle East, Chinese, setting up offices around the world, working in a variety of different business cultures, business different business styles, corporate styles. I was one of the early pioneers of LED displays technologies, bringing it first to introduce it to the market and then actually making it mainstream. And after being in that industry on the manufacturer side, I went to digital signage and worked for Zeta for about 4 years. And the journey at Zeta, I was brought on to make the brand from local to global, so take them international. And it was a joyful of a ride. They had acquired a couple of companies at the time when I started. So my task, I was put in charge of merging the companies together and integrating the companies there was into function units instead of, so you work as a group and have synergies across the group. We then had a strong plan of changing the company from being a hardware focus to a software and turnkey solution. So you change from being hardware and then had the recurring revenue model. So we added a whole new strategy on that point. So when you acquire a couple of companies, because when I started, we also afterwards we acquired more companies. So at that point, we had about 11 companies where there are different technologies. So you merge the software into one and then becoming a solution company. So having the proprietary software and a turnkey provider, so you controlled from A to Z. And a lot of the large enterprise customers often ask, I want a single point of contact from the start to the finish. And they could offer that. But also coming from a local to become one of the European stars. Because when I started at Zeta, one of the ideas I had was we should be the thought leader in the industry. The Nordic companies are always the one that wants to invest in companies. And they're the ones that break the boundaries. Mm-hmm. And my close to my heart is, I want to be the first mover. I want to break the boundaries. I want us to have, I want us to be bold in everything we do, from the material to the companies we want to buy. So we also had a strong acquisition strategy, buying companies either technically or geographically. And I wanted to take over the world. Because one thing I've done is I've set up offices around the world with different companies. And then having the opportunity to do that with Zeta was phenomenal because it was digital signage. And digital signage is a new part of AV, but it's also the fastest moving part of AV. Mm-hmm. And it ignites me because there's not a day that's the same. And that's why it's a great part of the industry to be in. And digital signage becoming everybody's knowing about digital signage now and what it is. But we can also discuss digital signage, is that the right word? Is it digital experience? Is it digital engagement now? Because digital signage is so much more. We're moving away from the screens, we're moving away from the hardware because that's just a means to an end. It's all about what problem are we solving, what do we want to achieve. It's all about knowing your audience for your customers. It's also communication to your employees. How do we build culture, especially during the pandemic. How do we communicate to our employees? We can do that on site, but we also need to do it remotely. And having digital signage with the right messaging and creating a culture via that is so important. So digital signage can be different things. But knowing your audience and having the right content at the right time to achieve exactly what it is your customer wants, it's beautiful because I can, excuse me the language, I can manipulate you or not you in a certain way by having the right content shown to you. And the more access I have about you, data, anything about you, the better the content I can give you. So I will personally send a message to you instead of sending to the masses. And that's also where the AI comes in. But that's for another day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my experience has been strong. But what I found most exciting is the transformation we did with Zeta. Mm-hmm. Business transformation, business turnarounds, analyzing, especially navigating the pandemic. You had business crisis management. We needed to think off the bat. Risk assessment, cost control plan, and then how do we support our customers? How can we support the hospital? Doing digital signage, doing the wayfinding, making sure that access control so that a few people can only be in the stores at a time. And then having such a great team around you and they are agile and they are quick to think on their feet. And then you create the product, go to market very fast and support people and help people around you. Especially your customers. Mm-hmm. That's quite a journey to do. And then at the same time, navigating the pandemic with a company, acquiring a company through the pandemic online. Exciting. And this is how you move in business. And I also have to say, I have a couple of nicknames in the industry. One of them is a business bitch.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that. But I'm very polite. I'm very proud and a lovely person. But when it comes down to business, they also call me Arabs of the North. That's how the Danes are. The bottom line is all what matters, right?
Mm.
Yeah. And you said a bit earlier on, actually, about the Nordic culture. Is there something, you know, we're very closely related as people, but there's something special about the Nordics.
Yeah.
You're different, aren't you?
We are. We have something called Jantelagen, which is don't think you're better than anybody else. And I actually like that because that means I have respect for everyone and I respect everyone. We all have baggages. We all have something we've done. So I shouldn't come into a room and think that I'm better than anybody else. And I really like that. So we don't put one or two up on a pedestal and think, oh, they should be treated differently. We're all equal. That's the very important thing. And there's room for everyone. And we need to embrace everyone. That's why we're the happiest people on earth, because we like everybody. Oh, supposed to do, at least.
But you said with the business acquisition, you've got quite an appetite for that.
I do. Yeah. Business acquisition, I find, is very exciting.
And how do you go about it? How do you identify somebody that's a potential dance partner?
Yeah. It depends on what buyer there is. And it also depends on which seller there is. So it depends on what side of the team you play for or what side of the court you play. I don't know how to say that. And scouting a good prospect for investors, it can be different factors. I would say it's proprietary. They own their own IP. They have a specific product that is their own. Or they have a customer portfolio that's exciting. Or they have a great P&L with a good EBITDA. So it depends on, do you want to grow geographically? Do you want to grow technology-wise? Or do you just want to add to your portfolio in any way or form? So it depends on what your strategy is for either the investor. And if you are a seller, who should I sell to? Because you need to get into a company that wants to merge with you, that wants to integrate you into the company. Culture is important. Chemistry is important. You don't just want to be swallowed up into a group or into a conglomerate where the culture doesn't really fit. Then it won't succeed. Mm. So even though you want to sell, it's also, who am I selling to? And how will the next year be? The first year of the earnout, or how do we fit together? Yeah, and often, smaller companies, it's a good mix to be sold to a group, because then you can benefit from it either geographically, or if there is a technology that the group owns, you can adapt that into the company and you can grow that way. So there's a lot of synergies in consolidating, and digital signage is consolidating at the moment.
Yep.
It's what everybody talks about. It's so phenomenal. Yeah.
Which brings me to my next question for you, Layla. Many people consider you as an expert in digital signage. I know you probably explained a few of them just now, but if you wanted to, I don't know, say just what comes off the top of your head, in your kind of recent experiences, what trends have you noticed? And can you tell us about anything that you may have saw coming or just came out of the blue in the digital signage world?
Yeah. In digital signage, it is important that you know your audience. And I touched upon that a little bit earlier. But knowing your audience is the essence of the ROI of your digital signage and the content and what you want to achieve. Because often we think, oh, I wanted this content at that time of period, or I want to use this type of technology. But does it really work? So analyzing, getting the right data for your audience and integrating to POS system, integrating to loyalty programs or anything else you can, and analyze, getting the sensors so that you see who is in front of the screen or the device that you have, and then connecting via that so you can automate it, send the content to get and nudge the person to do whatever you expect that person to do. But also, one thing that's very important in digital signage is listen to Generation Z. I'm Generation X, didn't mention my age earlier. And Generation Z thinks differently in content than us.
Absolutely.
They want to create their content strategy based on their social media. And that means not horizontal, but vertical. So it's portrait mode instead, And that means we need to think differently when we create the content. And we need to think differently because how do I adapt with my mobile phone or the mobile phone? Because all news, all influencers thing is happening on the phone for the youngsters in Generation Z. So how do I connect that? And I need to get them off their phone.
And it's how do you make it more comfortable for them? What are they used to? They're used to seeing their phones all the time.
Moving into Generation Z, I want to be entertained.
Yeah.
I don't just want a screen. Screens now or just content on a screen is just white noise. I'll just pass by it. You need to be engaged. You need to entertain me. Often if we look at retail, there's two different shoppers. There is the time poor and then the fast shoppers. Which one do you think I'm in? Do I have a lot of time or do I not have a lot of
time? Time poor.
Yeah. So that means I want to get in, analyze what I need and then get back out.
Yeah.
And then the other one that has loads of time wants to get in. I want to be engaged. I need an experience. So they come in and then you you need to have, you know, you can have gaming in the stores. You can have interactivity.
AI.
Yes, you can have AI. And that's where we want to move into. That's where digital signage is coming. So you need to think about the different shoppers that you have, but also what technology can I use for that? And I want things done quickly. You need to know me because I've been in the store before. I know exactly what I want. And then I need to go straight there. So I need to be informed that this is these are the aisles you need to go to and then go fetch what you need and go back out. And I'm a very happy shopper. Someone else needs to go in and browse a little bit, feel. And then you, by having either access to the loyalty program or anything else, they know who I am. They've seen me before. We can do different things. We can track them from outside coming into the store. And there's so much analysis that we can do on a shopper. And it's also the customer journey for digital signage is just so important because there are different zones in a store. There's different zones in corporate communication. And you need to have the right content in the different zones so that they do the different things. And a key is if you're a buyer of digital signage is to understand what is it I want to achieve and then get someone that's professional who understands you need the exact content at this time to achieve what it is that you want or to solve the problem that you want.
Are we moving towards a more software-driven product then? Or are we going to see much more on the devices or are we looking more at software and content?
I would say it's a bit of a mix. It's all about the content. The content is what happens, but you don't have content without the software because something needs to drive and something needs to get the access to the device that you need. But software needs to be, it needs to be powerful in a certain way. It needs to be fast, it needs to be stable, it needs to be quick, it needs to be able. When we have all these data input that's coming, because that's where we're heading. We're getting loads of data. AI is going to get us loads of data. How do we analyze it? How do we control it? How do we measure it? And all that data we need to be able to contain all this data because there's so many inputs that gets every day. How do we control that? And where do we store it? We need to have processes fast enough to maintain all this data. So things are moving very fast. So software also needs to support us on that. So you can't say one or the other. Yeah, so I think software is definitely the right software needs to, but also not the, sorry, I don't want to offend anybody, dinosaur software. We need the innovative software. We need the software that, there's a new software in place where they mix the gaming processes into it and things happen in a millisecond or microsecond even. Those are where we're going. We need to break the boundaries on that point when it comes to innovation.
You're suggesting Generation X, Gen Z, all that sort of stuff. How are we attracting those younger people that are going to help drive us forward when we need to get further ahead?
How we attract them into the industry? Yeah, that's the key because it's the best industry in the world. So this industry is an industry that moves fast, fast pace. Chop, 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 chop. Everything is happening. We're the cool kids on the block. That's our industry. It's tech. There's not a day there is the same for anyone in this industry. Everything is moving fast. And you need to read all the news. You need to read articles. You need to be at the forefront. Otherwise, you're losing out. If there's a day or two where you do not keep up with what's happening in the industry and in the technologies, you're a dinosaur almost. I know 2 days, not, but that's where we're at.
You'll get left behind.
Yeah. And the youngsters want things to happen all the time. Like we spoke about earlier on the phone, the news, they keep to be entertained. I want things to move. So our industry would be perfect for it. And that's also why I joined Avixa. Because Avixa is, my 2024 is about giving back to the industry. It's about getting the youngsters in. How do we get new talent? How do we attract talent? How do we get the new talent in our industry?
That's the question. How do we do that?
I think that is it's the key for this year to figure that out. But it's also being early in the process, university before university, because is it at university or is it before the university? How do we do that? Instagram, TikTok, let's stop making it sexy. Let's hit them where they are.
Yeah.
Let's figure out that's where we need to be, on the TikTok, on the Instagram and everything else probably, but educating them in the start. What is AV? How do we explain AV? It's audiovisual, but we're more sexy than that.
Yeah, it's true. And I think, like, I don't know, if I go back to when I was at school, if someone told me AV, I would automatically think, you know, a sound technician or a lighting technician or someone behind the scenes at a live event or a concert. I would never have thought that there is this side of AV as well that is constantly evolving and it's cool and it's sexy. But that is the message we need to get out there. And we need to, and I totally agree with you, it needs to be before university. It needs to be at the school, because that's when people, you know, the kids will start figuring out what do they want to do when they get past university, or if they don't go to university, what do they want to do next? And it's very, very important.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you said, Dave. Everyone uses it every day, don't they?
Yeah.
Through phones, laptops, TV, passing by when you're shopping and things like that. And I think that's the issue with part of the education process nowadays, that there's such a primary focus on IT, where we talked about the convergence of AV and IT in the last few years, certainly since I've been in the market the last 4 years. And I think that's the thing. I think this year, and I know there's a lot of other people out there who are trying to jump on this and help encourage people to join the industry. Because I think before I joined it, property background, I didn't really have much of a, I knew what audio and visual meant, but I didn't really have too much of a mindset or a wider vision in terms of how it affects the wider world. And like you said, we use it every day.
Every day.
And I remember when I started, because I just came out of university, and I thought, well, I'm going to do, I studied marketing and finance. But then I saw a projector. And that was one of the first portable projectors. I thought, wow, I can see the whole football match in full screen. I love it. I want to do this because that's the way forward. Flat screens were coming, plasma was going out. I know this is a long time ago. And I thought that interesting. I was a bit of a nerd. You know, I always like things that moves fast and new technology. And I want to have the new gadget as fast as possible as I can. And that's what ignited me to get into the industry. And that's how it started for me.
Yeah. And I think it's nice. And this is one of the things that we want to do with this podcast is ask people questions of what made you join the AV industry. Especially people that have been in the industry for a long time, like yourself. And, you know, and hopefully, you know, we can reach some kids and share these messages with them and say, you know, that could be you 20 years from now. You could be, you know, a veteran of the AV industry. And how much is it going to change in the next 20 years? It's going to be insane.
Yeah.
You know, the technology that we've got is just going to blow everyone's minds. And it'll be such a cool industry to get into.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's all about education side of things. We need to let people know that we're here. Come and join us, because we're not going away. We're only going to get better. But we need the young people in here to grow the industry.
I fully agree.
So, Layla, I remember last year we were in Miami over having a chat over some lovely cocktails in the sun.
Living the dream.
Living the dream. We were
spicy margaritas or something.
That's the one. You know
I don't
me.
Do spicy. You had that on your own.
And I remember you telling me that, you know, you wanted to go solo. Here we are, kind of a year, nearly a year later, and you've done it. You've set up your own consultancy, Zenova. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, brave move, isn't it?
Brave, yeah, no, absolutely. But if anyone can do it, our Danish dynamite can. So absolutely congratulations to
you. Thank
you. My question to you is, what made you make the call? Because it's a big call to make.
And
I'm sure there's many people in the industry that are also thinking what you were thinking last year.
Yeah.
It's like, I've been in the industry for a long time. I've got a lot of contacts in my black book. You know, I've learned a lot over the years. Should I make the call and do it myself? What was your reasons for doing this?
That was actually not my reason, actually. Because I have the network I have, but I've always had that. For me, it was, where am I in my career? Where am I in my experience? And all the experience I have means that I have made a lot of decisions before. I've had success. I've had failures, not failures, because it's a learning period.
Yeah, absolutely.
You learn from it.
Yeah.
And then I'm able to achieve the right strategy fast. I'm able to achieve whatever the company wants faster and in a more experienced manner. So for me, it was about 2024 is giving back. That's a little bit, it's close to my heart because I can make a decision now. I want to give back to the industry and I want to give back to small and medium companies. And giving back also means that small and mid-sized companies, my consultancy firm is based on three pillars, actually. Let me explain that before I go
into
the
rest. Yeah,
absolutely,
go for it.
Because then it probably put context to it.
Yep.
It's focused on business transformation or business turnarounds. It's growth in uncertain markets on that as well. It is merger and acquisitions, and then it's recurring revenue model. So when you look at business transformation, it could be preparing for an exit. It could be setting the right strategy. Often you have CEOs that are in the day-to-day, in the operative, and looking ahead, what road am I going on? You have so many different ideas and you want to do everything. And you're not, if you're not 100% on it, you're not going to get it all done. So focus, doubling down on what you're good at, and then full throttle ahead. And then understanding, which way am I going to go? What's my go-to-market strategy? I want to do this, I want to do that. But you can't do both, because then you confuse the channel. So there's different, it's a matter of putting my expertise and advising CEOs on the right strategy and executing it, but also measuring it.
Yeah.
And then it's also on the merger and acquisition, it is prepare companies to exit, support them on how do I create strategic value instead of just numbers and EBITDA, which is the easy one. What is my strategic value and which decision moving forward do I need to take in order to go the right direction so that I'm worth a bit more? And then it's also on the other side to support identifying the acquisitions opportunities that there are for investors. And with my global network, that's an easy one. And then supporting on the due diligence, because often when you have a small to medium company, they've never done a due diligence before. And some companies could be quite ruthless when it comes to that. And then having the support that I can help and prepare that company for it and then get the best value or get the best contract out of it is also something that I can offer. And the third one is the recurring revenue model. Everybody talks about it, but recurring revenue is also license fee and monthly fees. And it's also, it could be managed service, it could be software, it could be anything. It could also be, some say it's just a financial model. And it's not. It's so much more than that. And as a company, it's a jungle trying to figure out, how do I do recurring revenue? How do I get a sustainable finances out of that and sustainable company by that? Because my trick is, when you have a recurring revenue, it's about having as little labor as possible so that the money works for you, or the recurring revenue works for you without doing the labor that is. So you don't have a high OPEX that's bound to it. And it can be in so many different ways without giving away all the tips and tricks. It is the way forward for a lot of businesses. Mm-hmm. Even in AV, you can have AV as a service.
Yep.
You can have, and you content as a service. We can do digital signage as a service, company as a service. Everything as a service is out there. It's all about how you manage to do it.
And then how you package it up, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a service. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But I have to say one thing. I really want to give back this year. And for me, my athlete experience I have, I'm very competitive. I'm a high-performing individual, as you know. Mm-hmm. But I want to play to win.
Yep.
So the companies I want to work with, I don't want to work with massive companies that can afford very expensive consultants. That's fine. Let them go there. I want to go to the small, medium ones that want to listen and want to work together and actually play how to win. Because sometimes you just play to play just for the social part of it. But the Arab of the North wants to do business.
Yep.
So let's make the right decisions the first time. Let me guide you in how you do that. And let me help set up the right strategy for it and execute it and measuring it. Mm-hmm. Everybody can make plans. But if you don't have lead measures that executes it, you're never going to be successful. You're never going to progress.
Mm-hmm.
And then measure it up. Make sure about the performance. Because it's often you have these great ideas and you want to do them all. But I think the key for a CEO is to learning how to say no to that and then focusing on what you're good at and then doubling down of it. And it's really difficult. Stick to your strategy because you need the guidance. You need the direction. Your employees need the direction. There is always, you need to become an inspirational leader. People will follow you. They will work 120% without you asking for it if they have a purpose, mm-hmm. if they have a vision and they can buy into it. Then they will work with you.
We ask all of our guests two quick fire questions.
Ooh,
right? So yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay, thank you very much.
So question number one is, how would you describe the AV industry with respect to its people and attitudes?
Yes, that's a very good question. Having been in the industry 15 plus years, I've seen it grow. But we have a far way to go. And that's also why I joined AVIXA, because that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try and get that to progress. We have been very much in the dinosaur part. It's been analog. It's been, I don't want to offend anyone, but you can have the broadcast type of people and then you have the AI people. It's very different. And we want to move them into the digital transformation. We want to move them into digital. So we need to make that transition go. And we need to be the cool kids on the block and leave the analog and a little bit of the dinosaur and then move into the new era. That's what I like. But I also have to say that I love this industry because most of the people I work with has become my friends, yourself included.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that means more to me than anything because that's friendship for life.
100%.
And friends is the family you choose. And that's mm-hmm. why I like this industry, because I have people I trust that I work with. And I have people that I can call close friends. And those are the ones we work with. So the industry is not just about business.
Yeah.
You create something beyond business. And that's what I like about the industry.
And the final question, and I think you've answered partly some of this. What change, if any, would you like to see?
I want us to go into the new era. And the changes that I would like to see is that everyone starts pitching in to attract the new talent. I know it's on everybody's lips, but who is actually doing something about it? And that's where we need to be. We need to get the new ones in because we need to get the bright ideas. One thing that I always say is I want to hire someone that's clever than me
mm-hmm.
because I want to be challenged every day. And I admire them for it. And I will pat them on the back and say, thank you very much for keeping me out of my comfort zone because I want to move.
Toes.
I want to learn new things. All ideas are welcome because every day we need to learn and every day we need to progress. If you stand still, It's a bit boring, isn't it? Tech is sexy. Coming into the new era, let's challenge each other in a good way.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time and for joining us. Thank you for everyone listening. If you have any questions from today's episode or would like to be a guest in any future ones, please drop us a line to makingwaves@avmag.co.uk. Thank you for listening.